Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul has a particular issue that he wants to deal with, that he wants to teach on. In order to deal with that issue, or in order to teach on that issue, he takes a topic that was well known to the people of the day, and he uses that topic to teach on his issue. Now, the topic that he takes is the topic of slavery. And slavery was vast and wide in Paul's day. In fact, in Paul's day, there were a number of ways in which you could become a slave. You could become a slave as a result of a war. You know, one nation would battle against another nation, that nation would win, and they would take the people of the nation they conquered, and they would make them their slaves. You could become a slave because of kidnapping. Maybe someone from the next town or the next tribe over, they're looking for people to work for them and to be their slaves, so they may come to your village and kidnap you and take you back to their village. You could become a slave because you were born into slavery. And because your family were slaves, they made you a slave. You could become a slave because you were indebted. And in order to pay your bills off, you would sell yourself into slavery so that you could pay your debt back. In fact, there were even times when your family would sell the children into slavery in order to pay their debts back. Jews had a law. They had a law that if there were slaves every sixth year, those slaves had to be set free. Now, it didn't matter at what point in which you became a slave. Every sixth year, you had to be set free. The Romans had no such law. The Jews also had a law that they had to be very careful how they treated their slaves. The Romans had no such law. In the days of the Romans, it is said that anywhere between a third to half of the population was a slave. That meant as many as 60 million people in Paul's day were slaves. Now, as I said, the Romans had no such law. They could make you anywhere from being a family member, a close friend, to the point at which they beat you anytime they wanted. And if they really didn't like you and they really didn't think you were serving the way they wanted you to serve, they could have you killed, and there was no law against doing that. So Paul takes this ugly thing of slavery, and he uses that topic to teach on his issue. And the issue that he wants to teach on is an issue that seems to be much undermined in our day and age. Seems to be becoming less and less true as the years go on. And the issue that Paul wants to teach on is the issue of respect. You could see it all around our world today that there just seems to be very little respect shown these days. And I find it interesting that Paul's going to take such an ugly topic as slavery and teach on the issue of respect. And I want you to notice two things in our two verses this morning on this issue of respect. The first one is this: respect unbelievers who are over you. Respect unbelievers who are over you. And I want you to notice here that Paul takes the issue of slavery, and in particular, he's talking about masters, slave owners, who are not Christians, who are not believers, who don't care about God. And he's telling the believers of his day, here's how you are to respond to those unsaved slave masters in your culture. I want you to notice verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Notice the condition that is mentioned here. He says, all those under the yoke of slavery. Now, what Paul is saying here is kind of a double statement. The word slavery means slavery. The word yoke here has the idea of that which is a burden or a literal yoke that they would put around animals, around their necks. And it also carried the idea of slavery. So he's kind of saying, those who are under the slavery of the slavery. And it emphasizes the status of being a slave. So Paul's saying, look, I understand that slavery is a terrible thing. I understand that sometimes slavery can have very brutal treatment. I understand how bad slavery is. He's saying, understand your condition. But here's what I want you to do. Here is the action that is required, even though you find yourself in this condition. So notice the action. He says that those who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect. Now that almost seems inconceivable that the Apostle Paul and God through Paul would say such a thing. He's talking about the master who was the owner of the slaves. So he's talking to the slaves who have now become believers, who have now become Christians, who are now following Jesus Christ, and their masters are not. They can be treating them anywhere from being a family member to absolute brutal treatment. And Paul says to them, look, in this circumstance, in this condition, here is what God expects from you, that you are to treat those who are over you with full respect. The word full signals a degree of totality or of completeness. It has the idea of totality. In other words, your respect should be full, it should be complete, it should be total. And yes, you are to respect them. This word respect carries the idea of honor. And it carries the idea of honor, that honor is there because of the position that a person holds. In other words, you are to respect those masters who are over you because of their position. Paul is not saying that slavery is good. Clearly, the Bible ultimately got rid of slavery through the preaching of the gospel. But Paul is saying, look, this is the condition we find ourselves in the world. And in the condition we find ourselves in the world, these slave masters have authority over you. They have a position over you. And because of that position, then as a Christian, your responsibility towards that unsaved master is to respect them because of their position and to show them full or total honor. Not just some respect, not just a little respect, but total respect. Now here in America, we no longer have slavery, but you may find yourself in a position where you have unsaved people, people who maybe don't care about God, people who are not Christians, and they are over you. We can find that where we work. We can find that in the country in which we live. We can find that in many different positions. If you're in an organization, you may have as the head of your organization an unsaved person. There are various positions and places where we might find ourselves in these situations. So what do we do as Christians? When we find ourselves living in a world where the person is over us, who has authority over us, who maybe doesn't care about God, doesn't care about our Christian example, doesn't care about our Christian positions, doesn't care about our Christian standards or morality, how do we respond to such a person? Paul says, look, there's only one response. You are to give them full, total, complete respect or honor, not because they deserve it necessarily, but because of the position that they hold. Now, there's a great example of this found in the Old Testament. So turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We have the story of a young man who was sold into slavery. Of course, you know who he is. It was Joseph. Now, I want to begin reading in verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him there. Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Why you notice, though that Joseph was sold into slavery, though Joseph is living as a slave in his master's house, he gave his master everything he had. He respected him. He served him with all that he could. He did the best he could with all of his ability, and he honored his master. In fact, I want you to notice what happens here. In the middle of verse 6, it says, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. After a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?'" And why you notice, not only is Joseph concerned about sinning against God, but he says, "Look, my master has entrusted me with everything. How can I dishonor him?" Here's a guy who's serving as a slave. Here's a guy who's under his master. Now, you might say in this situation, his master took pretty good care of him. But remember, slavery is still slavery. And in this situation, Joseph says, "Look, I'm not going to do anything that's going to dishonor my master." He was, in essence, living out what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. In fact, when you read on in the story in Genesis 39, you find out that even though he did not dishonor his master, the master's wife lied about him, and Joseph ends up in jail. So here's a guy who was sold into slavery by his brothers, ends up in Egypt in slavery, then ends up in jail for something he didn't even do. And you might say, well, Joseph has all the excuses in the world to be angry, to be bitter, to be upset. Kind of go sit in the corner and not do anything and certainly not show respect for anyone. But in spite of all this, when you get to the end of chapter 39, you find out that Joseph's still serving with his whole heart and still serving to the best of his ability. And that's exactly what God expects from us today. That when we find ourselves in places where we have unsaved people over us, even though their ethics are different than ours, even though that their morality is different than us, even though that they may do things different than us, even though they may even hate our God, because of the position they hold, we need to make sure that we respect them. And not just with a little respect, not just with some respect, but with all the respect that we can give them because of the position that they hold. In fact, let me show you another example. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And here's an example where Peter is speaking of masters who aren't the best in the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. "Slaves, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but notice, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." So Peter says, look, even if you have a bad unsaved master. Even in those situations, verse 18, show your master all respect. Now, I'm sure with a crowd of this size that if we were to take an opinion poll, that there would be at least one, maybe more people who would say, you know what? I got the worst boss in the whole world. He's unsaved. He doesn't treat me fairly. He doesn't care about my Christianity. In fact, he just does some really dumb things. You know, if it were up to me, I would do them totally different than he does. Therefore, I just have no respect for this guy at all, or no respect for this lady at all. Paul says, even if you find yourself in those kinds of circumstances, you are still to show all respect, total, complete, full respect. In fact, again, this word respect relates to not because a person deserves it, but because of their position. And I think one of the reasons why we're not ready to, or we don't have the mind to give full respect, is because often we think the person that is in that position of respect are not worthy of respect. But I want you to notice something here. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I have searched all throughout the Bible. And you know what I have found? I have not found one position anywhere in the Bible where it says that we should give someone respect because they deserve it. Thank you. Thank you. We should give someone respect because they deserve it. But all throughout the Bible it says we ought to give them respect because of the position that they hold. So notice here in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. All those who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect. Notice two reasons are given why we should do this. Number one, so that God's name, number two, and our teaching may not be slandered. Two reasons. Number one, give your master, give that unsaved authority over you full respect, not because they deserve it, but so that God's name may not be slandered. Number two, give that person full respect, not because they deserve it, but so that our teaching may not be slandered. The word slander simply means to blaspheme. If I can give it a little bit easier of a definition, it means to speak evil of. In other words, when you find yourself in a position, whether it is at work, or whether it is out in the community, or whether it is wherever you find yourself, and you have someone who is over you who is unsaved, and maybe they are not deserving of respect because of their character, maybe they're not deserving of respect because of the morality, maybe they're not deserving of respect because of their actions. So you say to yourself, look, I'm not going to show them any respect because they don't deserve it. Bible says if you do that, the end result could be that God's name is slandered. The end result could be that the teaching of Christianity could be slandered because of your actions. So Paul says, look, even if all those things are true, the reality is that they have a position that is over you, and simply because of their position, you ought to respect them. I think sometimes in the home, you know, you may have grown up with a parent, a father, a mother, and maybe you grew up in a foster situation. And you say to yourself, you know, my parents are not deserving of respect. Maybe your dad was a drunk. Maybe, you know, your mom was a drunk, or maybe they were drug addicts. And you look at your parents and you say, you know what? They're not deserving of respect. Well, you need to respect them anyway. Because that's what Paul is saying here. If you have an unsaved person over you, you need to give them full respect simply because of the position that they hold. Now, if you look in our world would say you don't need to do that. Our world would say if they're not deserving, hey, you don't need to show them any respect. They don't deserve it. But that is not the way of Christianity. Now, you might look at that and you say, well, you know, that's really difficult. And it is. And the way of Christianity is hard at times. Trying to live out Christ in our life can be very difficult in a world that has no qualm with going against God's word. But that is the lifestyle to which God has called us. That is why we need the courage and strength of Christ. That is why we need the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit working through our lives, that we might live this Christian life, so that even in very difficult circumstances, we can find a way to respect those who are over us, even if they don't deserve it. They do deserve it because of the position, and therefore we ought to give it. So we need to understand that our lives, good or bad, has an impact on this world. If you live according to God's word, it can have an impact for good. If you live against God's word, then people are going to look at your life and they're going to slander everything there is about Christianity. They're going to see you as the Christian they know, and your life's going to affect what they think of God, and your life is going to affect what they think of Christian teachings, either for good or for ill. Let's look at a few verses. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. You're in 1 Timothy, next book is 2 Timothy, and then Titus. Titus chapter 2. Why don't you notice verse 4? Speaking of older women, talking to them how they relate to younger women. It says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. Be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands. And notice this phrase, we looked at it the other night, so that no one will malign the word of God. If you haven't already underlined that, I told people the other night to do it this morning, so that no one will malign the word of God. In other words, if you're not living the way you ought, people are going to malign the word of God. And in this case, it's speaking of ladies. Ladies, if you're not living according to God's word, people are going to look at your life and they're going to malign the word of God. Skip down to verse 9. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. See, the way we live our lives ought to be causing people to be attracted to Christianity, not to remove themselves from Christianity. When they look at our lives, they should be desiring or at least looking at what we have and realize there's something different, and the thing that we have is better than what they have, because it's a real relationship with God. But if we're not living according to God's word, if we're not the salt and the light of this world, then people are going to look at Christianity and they're going to look down on Christianity. They're going to say, hey, if that's Christians, forget it. And that's why a lot of times non-Christians don't want to come to church. Because they look at Christians and they say, what do I want that for? They look at our families and they see us arguing and fighting and, you know, not getting along. And they say, well, that's not any better in my family. What do I want that for? And that's what Paul's talking about in 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. He's saying, look, when you either show or have a lack of respect for those who are over you, and we all know that if you are a slave and you are being brutally treated, it would be very easy to have no respect for that person over you. And Paul's saying, look, even though that may happen, what we really ought to be concerned with as Christians is not necessarily where we find ourselves, but to make sure that our lives somehow bring God glory, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Isn't it easier to be a Christian when things are easy? But it's much harder to be a Christian when things are hard. And you know what? It really is. And sometimes we go to God's word and we look at what we need to do as Christians and we say that's hard, and I agree with you that sometimes it's really hard. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't make the effort and we shouldn't try to do what God has called us to do. And Paul's saying, look, you know, in his day and even in our day, we're living in a world where there's very little respect shown for so many areas. You think of our school systems. You think of, you know, our political system. You think within our job places, and even you think within our homes. And some people, you know, the way they take their position of authority, they really make it really hard for you to respect them. But Paul says, look, in spite of that, they hold that position. Therefore, we have the responsibility to respect them no matter what. And not just respect them some, but again, you saw as in 1 Peter, he says, look, all respect, full respect, total respect, complete respect. Why? Because it shows that we're different from this world. Stories told by Warren Wiersbe of a lady who was living in America back in the days of slavery. She was black. And her master was beating her, slave master was beating her because she was praying. And he beat her and beat her with a whip. And he stopped for a moment. He said, now you're going to continue to pray. And she said, yes. And he started beating her more. And suddenly, as he was beating her, he heard this prayer from the woman. She prayed, oh Lord, forgive my poor master and bless him. And the man broke down and stopped. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. And you go to work for a company, maybe you're the only saved person there, and you know, you can't walk in the door and say, hey, here I am. I'm the Christian in town. I'm the Christian on this job place. Everybody treat me good. Reality is sometimes if you announce that at work, you're going to be treated worse. And you may become the brunt of jokes, and you may become the brunt of every immoral thing they can throw your way. But the Bible again says that we need to show full respect. Not because they deserve it, but because of the position they hold over us, and because we want to make sure that our life causes people to praise God and doesn't cause them to malign the Word of God. I want you to notice the second thing in this passage in 1 Timothy, and it's this. Don't disrespect believers who are over you. Do not, or don't disrespect believers who are over you. So Paul kind of takes a different situation. This time you have a master as a slave, and the person over you is a Christian. Verse 2. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them, because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and are dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. So what do you do now if your master as a slave is a believer? You might say to yourself, look, if this guy really is a believer, how could he be a slave owner? If this guy really is a believer, he'd set me free. If this guy is really a believer, he'd make my life, you know, great. But the reality is, in those days, there were some people who were slave owners and had become believers. And at that point, they had not released their slaves. And at that point, they had not given up on slavery. And remember, some of these slaves were slaves because they had great debts, and the only way to pay their debt was to sell themselves into slavery. So they did it on their own. Tendency even today is for some believers to think they can work for a believer or purchase something from a believer and think that just because they are a believer or just because they are a fellow church member that the person they are working for or purchasing from ought to give them a break. You know, it kills me when I see pastors running all around town saying, hey, do you know I'm a pastor? You got to give me a break because I'm a minister. And it kills me when I see Christians trying to do the same to fellow Christians. Now, if the Christian owner or if the Christian employer decides they want to give you a break, that's a different thing. That's their choice. But if you go to work for a Christian or you are buying something from a Christian, you should not expect less or give less just because they're believers. And that's what Paul is saying here. Notice the action. He says, look, now you have a believing master. What should you do in that situation? He says, look, don't show any less respect. You were giving the unbeliever full respect. Now you have a believer. Don't show him any less respect just because they are believers. The word less respect means to show someone contempt or to despise them. And you do that by your actions. You do that by walking in the place of business of a Christian and say, you know, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, or you go to the same church as me, so why don't you give me half price? Or because we're both Christians, why don't you don't charge me for this one? That's showing less respect. That's showing disdain, or that's showing contempt for that Christian. In fact, Paul says do the very opposite. If you're showing complete or full respect for the non-Christian, do even more. If you have a believer who is over you, whether it is in the workplace, whether it is in the community, whether it is in the school, wherever it is, we should not seek special treatment just because we're a Christian. We should not look to slack off because we work for a believer. We should not look to be treated with more leniency. We should not look to get more consideration because we go to the same church. We should not think that we can't be corrected because we're both believers. We should not think that we can't be fired if we don't do a good job. I think some believers even carry to the point where they just do whatever they want because they say, well, you know, the Bible says you can't sue me because I'm a believer. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the family of believers. So don't go to another believer and say, you know what, because you're a believer, or even thinking in your head, I'm going to give you less respect than if you weren't. You know, you ought to pay me double because we're both believers, and I'm going to pay you less because we're both believers. Again, Warren Wiersbe relates a story how a Christian went to work for another Christian, and, you know, they thought when they would go there, it'd be like working in heaven. You know, you've worked for a bunch of unbelievers, now you finally get to work for a believer, and now we're in heaven because, you know, we got believers there. And this person relates a story to Warren Wiersbe, and he said that this lady said her job was terrible, it was miserable. And he said, well, let me ask you, because you're working for believers, are you putting forth less effort? The person said, yes. She was being honest. He said, well, why don't you give the same effort as if the person you're working for was not a believer and someone you didn't know, give them the same amount of effort. She did. She came back and said, you know what? Everything has changed at work. When my children were growing up, there was one issue that I considered the unforgivable sin. If I could state it that strongly, it was the issue of respect. And I told them from the time they were little, if you do not show your mother respect, then we were going to have a real interesting time. That was just one issue. I thought, you know, they need to respect their mother, and of course me also, they need to respect, because it just drives me nuts when I see people who deal with others who have positions of authority over them, deserving or undeserving, and they don't show respect. That is what Paul's talking about. And in order to talk about that, Paul takes a human condition that's absolutely terrible, slavery. He says, even in that situation, show respect. Whether you have a good master, a terrible master, saved master, unsaved master, show respect. And why don't you notice again, he gives a reason. The reason has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. The reason he gives here in verse 2 is because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. Can you imagine what it was like in those days? In those days, there was a separation between those who had and those who have not. And some people think that separation is still there today. But if you were a slave owner, you traveled in certain circles. And if you were a slave, you traveled in certain circles. But now, because of the preaching of the gospel, people are getting saved. Both slave owners and slaves are coming to Jesus Christ and receiving him as their Savior and Lord. And now they're sitting in church together. And they're singing together. And hearing God's word preached together. It was a very, very unusual situation. And there might be the tendency for that slave to look at his slave owner next to him in church and say, you know what, things are going to be different now. And ultimately they were. But Paul says, look, you need to make sure you still show respect. Because within that society, they were over them. So he takes this terrible situation and says, even in this, make sure you show respect. He ends verse 2 with saying to Timothy, look, I want you to teach this. And even more, I want you to urge it. Teach people, Timothy, in the church at Ephesus that they need to show respect. Teach Timothy. In fact, Timothy, you know what? Urge it. That believers, whatever circumstance they find themselves, if there's someone over them, saved or unsaved, make sure they show them respect. You know, I find two principles really quick in this passage. The first is this. That those who name the name of Christ must not defame that name by the way they live. And secondly, if you work for a Christian, you ought to serve them even better. If you're under a Christian, you ought to serve them even greater because they are. Let's pray.